nations in an uproar, and the peoples devising a vain thing. The kings of the earth take their stand, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. Let us tear their fetters apart and cast away their cords from us. He who sits in the heavens laughs, the Lord scoffs at them. Then he will speak to them in his anger and terrify them in his fury. But as for me, I've installed my king upon Zion, my holy mountain. I will surely tell of the decree of the Lord. He said to me, Thou art my son, today I have begotten thee. Ask of me, and I will surely give the nations as thine inheritance, and the very ends of the earth as thy possession. Thou shalt break them with the rod of iron, thou shalt shatter them like earthenware. Now therefore, O king, show discernment. Take warning, O judges of the earth. Worship the Lord with reverence, and rejoice with trembling. Do homage to the Son, lest he become angry, and you perish in the way. For his wrath may soon be kindled, for blessed are those are all who take refuge in him. Amen. I told you, especially in the beginning of this time, that I'm going to just go through different aspects of some background to the book of Psalms. So Psalms has multiple authors, many actually that are fairly unknown. Of the 150 books, or better said, of the 150 songs that are laid out here, almost half of them, about 73, belong to David. In fact, we can actually add two more because we can understand from other passages, particularly like Acts chapter 4, that actually quotes Psalm 2 that we read today that I'm going to talk about in a bit, and attributes it to David. And then there's another psalm on top of that. So 75 altogether that we know that was written by David. 50 of these psalms are unknown, but most of them are probably attributed to Ezra, the scribe. Most likely, that's what the tradition says. And so we have another one, the 75 of David. 12 were created by Asaph, and we'll see that a few times. He was known as the collector. He was a priest who was basically in charge of the worship, and so Asaph wrote a few of these during this time. Solomon wrote two books here, 72 and 127. Moses wrote one, which is Psalm 90. And then there was a faithful wise man named Heman. He wrote one, 88, and one by a guy named Ethan, another wise man, and he wrote 89. And then the other 50 or so are anonymous. And that kind of brings us to the authors of the book of Psalms. So, you know, tomorrow we'll get into another aspect of some background. And so Psalm 2 is the coronation of the Lord's anointed. And so you'll notice a lot of the singing, a lot of the songs has to do with a future triumph. They have to do with a future reality that's not really based on their present circumstances that's happening here. And so in this way, this psalm is the coronation of the anointed. And even though it doesn't mention that David wrote this, again, we know from from Acts chapter 4 that David did write this, and thus their own idea is laid out here. And it's kind of like a back and forth. You can imagine this song maybe sang as a congregational, one person would say something and the other people would respond, because it's basically a dialogue that's happening here. On one hand is God, the anointed and his anointed, and the other side are the nations, the rulers, the judges, the kings. And so we see this. And so it starts off in verse 1. Why are the nations in an uproar and the peoples devising a vain thing? The kings of the earth take their stand and the rulers take counsel together. You got to understand that all through history, when you look through this, that that the world forces, I'm not talking about in the spiritual realm, I'm not talking about on earth, but obviously wrapped in the spiritual realm, there's been a concerted effort to kill Christianity. There's been a concerted effort to really bring down our faith. And I mean, you just have to just look around you and recognize that there is this unmitigated hostility towards Christianity. You don't really see that. Well, I mean, now you see that with Islam in many ways because of all the violence and suicide bombing and all that stuff. Even this morning, you know, I was reading on my phone. And, you know, there was an ISIS-backed group in Indonesia beheaded some farmers in Sulawesi area. And you see these things happening, you know, quite frequently. But if you look at government systems, and there just seems to be this unmitigated hatred, particularly towards Christianity. I remember when I was a youth pastor, and I was very involved in all of our kids' schools. And, you know, there wasn't a week that went by that I wasn't on some campus doing some outreach or doing some Bible study with kids. And it's amazing how you can have almost every club known to man. But when you try to establish a Christian club, there becomes a lot of hostility towards administration, you know, for whatever reason. And it just even back then, it just became so apparent that the forces to be were really against this faith of ours. And so this David is just writing about, and the way he's puzzled by this. He's puzzled by why the nations are in an uproar, you know, why they're taking the stand, why they're counseling together and against the Lord and against his anointed. And so now we have, and finally in Psalm, we have this introduction of the anointed. And when you always see this word anointed, particularly in the Old Testament, is referring to the Messiah. He is the anointed one. And so he's the one that's to come. It's all the hopes and dreams are laid upon this figure, and obviously we know it to be Christ. And verse 3 says, "And let us tear their fetters apart and cast away their cords from us." So these are the nations, these are the rulers saying this. And it's so interesting because I think we all had this same idea before we came to Christ. We believed that God was the bondage bringer instead of the bondage breaker. Didn't you have this idea before you met Jesus? Didn't you think that God was going to trap your life? You know, didn't we have this idea that if I came to the Lord, that I couldn't do certain things and you know, I was limited or I'd be frustrated or so on and so forth. And this is the fallacy of this time. They believe that God was going to put a yoke on us. But yet in the scriptures, particularly in Matthew chapter 11, we're told that his yoke is easy and his burden is light. I want you to know this is a major lie of the enemy. And very, very, very successful lie, because it probably delays a lot of people's salvations, you know, like mine, you know, or even thwarts them altogether. And we see how this is kind of laid out in their mind, that trusting in God, following God, is akin to being in bondage. It's like being in prison. And didn't realize that God, above all else, is not the bondage bringer. I don't even know if that's a word. But he's the bondage breaker. He's the one who actually frees us. And we don't even understand what real freedom is. And so we have this idea, this kind of a disparity of ideas in this way. And Charles Spurgeon, in a very well-known message, you know, he talks about this. He talks about the those that without grace, the graceless, you know, they tend to see God as someone who puts yokes on them. But in fact, to the ones who have experienced that grace, we know that he's the one that frees us from our bondage. And so now it goes back to the Lord in this narrative. And he sits, basically he's enthroned in the heavens and he laughs. The Lord scoffs at them. You know, it's simple. You know why the Lord laughs and scoffs at them? Because he's in heaven. It's just, you know what I mean? These are things happening here on earth. He is in heaven. He is enthroned in the heavens. And so it's not even a comparison in this way. And then he will speak to them in his anger and terrify them in his fury. But as for me, I've installed my king. Again, this is the Messiah upon Zion, my holy mountain. I will surely tell of the decree of the Lord. He said to me, Thou art my son. Today I have begotten thee. This is a huge, huge insight that we get. I mean, just masterful stroke here. Now, notice that there's angels, and throughout the scriptures, angels are also referred to as sons of God. So we understand this. We also, through the scriptures, we're also called the children of God. And so we can understand these ideas, but only one person is called my son. Others are sons, children of God, you know, no problem. Only one, and that's obviously Jesus Christ, is known as my son. And he says in the other verse here, after in verse 7, and today I have begotten thee. The word begotten is not something that we use a lot in these days, but it's a very important phrase. Notice that David, and now he's prophetically speaking, right? So the father is speaking here. He's not saying that my son was created. All of us are created. Every one of us created in the image of God. We can understand that. Only one was not created. He was begotten. Begotten, this particular term, actually refers to someone giving birth. I mean, that's the idea. In other words, it's not a higher being creates a lesser being, even though in his image, this is someone that actually gives birth. In other words, they're the same nature. They're the same rank in this way. One's the father, the other one's the son. And so there is a functional difference, but the nature and the rank, Jesus is God. It's still the same. And in fact, the writer of Hebrews in chapter 1 were particularly used this idea to prove the deity of Jesus Christ. I think it's 1:5, but don't quote me on that. And so we see this, and so he says, you are my son. In other words, right, you're not just one of the angels, you're not these created, you are my son, you are my son, and today I have begotten. I didn't create you. It was not like any, not like us, not like the creatures, not like anything else, but he was begotten, that means of the Father. I have begotten you, you're the same nature and the same rank. And now, in particular in the psalm, we're introduced to this idea of what the Messiah and the difference of the Messiah than everybody else. And then he turns to the anointed, this is the Christ, and he says, ask of me, and I will surely give the nations as your inheritance. It all belongs to him. If you remember when Jesus is being tempted in Matthew chapter 4, and the enemy comes and he lays all of these kingdoms and everything before him and says, I'll give you all of these things if you just simply bow down and worship me. Now, I mean, honestly, you know, the Jesus didn't have to say anything. If he said anything, he says, well, you know, actually, they're all mine anyway. You know what I mean? It's like it all actually belongs to me. It's like when, you know, when I talk to my kids and my kids are getting a little unruly, you know, and they're like not sharing, you know, certain toys, and you know, your kids, right? They fight about these silly things, and so sometimes I have to go in there and say, oh, actually, that belongs to me, so let me have it right now, and I'm going to play with it until you guys can settle down. And Jesus could have very well said this thing, because it all belongs to him. Everything, it's all part of his inheritance. And part of this too, so he asks us to step into that inheritance by going to the nations. and sharing the word of the nations and the very ends of the earth as his as thy possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron. You shall shatter them like earthenware. And this is a simple idea, is that, that the Messiah, he'd be so powerful, it's just like cracking pottery, with an iron rod. That's all this idea. I mean, this is a total side note, but, you know, one of our staff members, Monica, sent me this video of Sung Young Moon's son, he's in the States, and, he has a church. And they basically, they call the RA-15 church because they just have, they, guns. I mean, they're just crazy guns. It's basically a gun club slash church, you know? And so he uses this passage, Psalm 2:9, that he shall break them with a rod of iron. And to him, iron means guns. So I was like, man, what an idiot, you know? Just reading through the text, and it's just totally out of context, and, you know, and, you know, thankfully, P. Nate, he didn't go to Talbot, you know, so you're off the hook, you know, but he went to Harvard Divinity, you know, and so I'm like, okay, great, you know, good job, Harvard. In any case, yeah, it's just talking about the strength of the Lord, can you imagine a rod, just simple plates and pot, crack, crack, crack. I mean, that's how strong the anointed will be. And eventually, when it comes to this place, of judgment that's to come. Remember the first time Jesus comes, you know, particularly we see this throughout the wisdom books, particularly the poetry books. One of the main passages, Isaiah 53, and we see that he comes first as a suffering servant. But then the next time he comes, he's going to come riding on the white horse, bringing vengeance with him. And so in verse 10, the narrative shifts, and now David is speaking to the kings and the rulers. And so, and interesting enough, right, himself being a king, he can make this stand. And it says, "Now therefore, O king, show discernment. Take warning, O judges of the earth. Worship the Lord with reverence and rejoice with trembling. Do homage to the Son." I actually like the old King James a little better, and it says, "Kiss the Son." And the idea is, you know, during this time, you would bow down and you'd kiss the ring, and it would be a sign of humility and these things. And so it seems to draw the picture a little better. "Lest he become angry and perish you in the way, for his wrath may soon be kindled." The soon, actually means suddenly, or something quickly that's going to happen. And this is the key. This is actually the key to the whole chapter, is the end of this. "How blessed are all who take refuge in him." You can choose, going back to that you know, clay, you can choose to take refuge in him and rest, or you can choose to be broken, right, just like that clay with that rod of iron. And really the choice is yours, and he's making that case to these nations. Well, you can choose. I mean, you know, you have a choice. You can choose to rest in the Son. You can choose to take refuge in him, and you're blessed because you do that. Or you can choose to live your own life. You can choose to do your own thing, and then you'll be broken. And so we get to choose blessing or brokenness, one or the other. And it's crazy that this choice is not just like a long time ago. This choice still happens to us today. And so let's close our eyes. Beautiful psalm. I first memorized this psalm ages ago after I went to Urbana. You know, because the whole thing of missions, you know, "Ask of me and I'll give you the nations as thine inheritance." But it's a really simple psalm, really. You can choose blessing by humbling yourself, by doing homage, kissing the Son, by worshiping him with reverence and awe and fear. Or you can devise plots. You can counsel together. And that will lead to brokenness. And so he lays a choice. If you didn't realize, you know, most of our Christian life are about these choices that we make. So there's a choice before you. Blessing or brokenness. And as we sing before the Lord, you know, let the Holy Spirit speak to you today. Let the Holy Spirit convict you of certain things that maybe some devices or things that are happening in our life that are contrary to worshiping Him with reverence.
Is made, and the heavens roared. All hail, King Jesus. All hail the Lord of heaven and earth. All hail, King Jesus. Verse 2. There was a moment when the sky lit up, a flash of light breaking through, when all was lost across eternity. The King of Life was on the move. In a dark hole tomb, where our Lord was laid, one miraculous breath, and we're forever changed. Savior of the world. All hail King Jesus. All hail the Lord of heaven and earth. All hail King Jesus. All hail the Savior of the world. Sing, let every knee come bow. Let every knee come bow before the King of Kings. Let every tongue confess that He is Lord. Lift up your shout. Let us join with all of heaven singing, holy. Let every knee, let every knee come bow before the King of Kings. Let every tongue confess that He is Lord. Lift up your shout. Let us join with all of heaven singing, oh, oh, oh. One more time, let every knee, let every knee come bow before the King of Kings. Let every tongue confess that He is Lord. Lift up your shout. Let us join with all of heaven singing, holy. Singing, holy. Jesus, You are holy. Singing, holy. All hail. All hail, King Jesus. All hail the Lord of heaven and earth. All hail King Jesus. All hail the Savior of the world. All hail King Jesus. All hail the Lord of heaven and earth. All hail King Jesus. All hail the Lord of the world.
Amen. He is the bondage breaker, not the bondage bringer. Maybe there is some thoughts that we have of God that are unworthy of Him. Maybe we're choosing brokenness instead of blessedness. And let's just go before the Lord. Let's have a conversation with God today about the way that we're living our life right now. And let's pray. Let's go to our community prayers and let's pray for our friends and family that are battling through cancers and going through therapies. And let's pray for God's healing word. Let's pray for our community that are battling through illness, but also needs to meet with Jesus. And let's pray for physical healing. Let's pray for the word of salvation. Let's pray for our community dealing with non-cancer related illness, and let's pray for God's healing word. Let's pray for our community that's looking for work. Let's pray for open doors and God's provision. Let's pray for Hong Kong. Let's cover our government. Let's pray in the midst of decisions they need to make in light of the fourth wave that's upon us. Let's pray for God's wisdom. Let's continue to pray against the wealth gap in our city that causes has been causing a lot of unrest. Let's pray for revival. Let's ask God to come in power over our city. Let's pray for churches all over the place. Let's pray for our friends ministering, sports services, Shanty, YWAM, Stand Asia, Sons and Daughters, Mother's Choice, the Hong Kong Korean Church. Pray for our students, domestic helpers, and families in distress. And let's cover our city. Let's pray for our staff. Let's ask God to really continue to use us and protect us. I know a lot of the moms here are now relegated to home learning once again. Let's pray for a lot of wisdom and patience. And let's pray for everyone's health and that we really serve the Lord with all of our heart. Let's pray for our hospitality ministries, our welcoming, and our barista. Let's pray for our leaders, our volunteers, that they would really serve the Lord with all of their heart. They would bring such a loving environment to the church, especially when our guests visit us. Let's lift up. Let's pray for our worship, sound, and AV teams. And let's pray for our leaders, our musicians, our sound people. Let's pray for just the presence of God to really meet with them individually, that they would really bring it when we come and gather together. Let's lift up House Church meeting tonight. First Street, Fontana, Hopewell, House to House, Kowloon, Opie Road, Princeton, and Soho. Let's pray for the presence of the Spirit to really meet with each one of us, and that the leaders and the hosts would just create such an incredible atmosphere in their homes. So let's lift up. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you, God, for the word this morning. We thank you, God, that you give us a choice to choose blessing instead of brokenness, God. Lord, we want to worship you with reverence, with awe, and fear, Lord. And we thank you for your Son, God, that you've given to us, Lord, that saves us from ourselves. And we love you. Help us to live for him today, God. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time, and we'll see you tomorrow.